I love the story of how in years past some Native American tribes helped their young men, their boys, to learn to become men. And this is what would happen. On the eve of a young man's 13th birthday, he would be blindfolded and carried by the braves of that tribe out into the midst of the woods. Unable to tell which direction he was headed or what was going on around him, they would carry him into the depths of the wilderness. And then they would leave him to remove the blindfold. And when he did, he would discover he was absolutely alone in the midst of the forest. All night long, you can imagine what it was like to be left there. There was no light, there was no fire, there were no weapons, there was nothing he could do to defend himself, but he was expected to stay throughout the night. Well, he really had no choice because, after all, he had no idea where he was or what was happening. Can you imagine what it must have been like that night? Wild animals howling around him, the wind making eerie noises throughout the woods. Sound of every rustling leaf reminding him that it could be there was an enemy approaching. The night felt like it was forever, but eventually light would begin to break as dawn came, and he would be able to look around himself, and instead of danger on every side, he would find the forest the way it really was all along. Flowers would be blooming around him in a meadow, majestic trees towering over him. Those things that sounded so much like mountain lions would reveal themselves to be rabbits searching for food. And he would realize it never was as dangerous as he thought it might have been. But it might have been. And as he was adjusting to what was going around him, suddenly he became aware of a figure standing behind him. And he turned around and he found his father, heavily armed, standing just where he had been all night long, protecting his son in case danger had ever presented itself. As they made their way back to the tribe, he would discover that he had learned some life-changing lessons. He had learned that whatever may come your way, you have to face it with courage. He learned that you have to prevent your imagination from controlling your actions. Most of all, he learned the power of his father's love. Here's the thing. In years to come, what he had learned and the love he had experienced from his father would become something he would pass on to his own son when his 13th birthday arrived. There's something about a father's love. Jesus had that same kind of love for his disciples in the upper room. He prepared them for what was about to happen. You think about the fact that not only had they shared their time in the upper room, not only had Jesus washed their feet, not only had they shared in what would become the Lord's Supper, but he was preparing them for what was going to happen over the hour and the hours to come. Jesus would be arrested. Jesus mocked and beaten. Jesus crucified. The truth is, before the night was over, one of them would betray him, the others would abandon him, and Peter would deny him. By the dawning of the day, they would be convinced, God is finished with us. We have failed in every way you could possibly imagine. Not only that, but soon the Lord himself would be killed by those who were his enemies. That's why, knowing all of this was in store, Jesus said something to his disciples. The one who had called them to abide in me also offered another powerful invitation. He said, "Abide in my love." With all that was yet to come, abide in my love. It will be there for you. Nothing has the power to transform a person like a genuine encounter with the love of Christ. Not because you've earned it, not because you deserve it, but because He has offered it to you. How long since you have heard a simple sermon about how much Jesus loves you? This past week has been very interesting to me because I have had a number of conversations with folks who have said something like this: I am so glad that you took time to talk about the danger of hell. I am so glad that you took time to remind folks of the reality of that place and of the necessity to trust Christ so that that does not become your eternal destiny. And I appreciated those remarks, and it's absolutely true. From time to time, we need to be reminded that we live in a life or death world. We live in an eternal life, eternal death world. But it has made me think this past week, because I can't remember if anybody has ever said to me something along these lines. Boy, if ever you would preach a message about the overwhelming love of Jesus. Oh, if ever you would preach a message about how much He cares for you. But you're going to get one this morning, because it's so important. Jesus, the one who said, and the branches that do not abide in the vine, they'll be gathered up and they'll be burned. It's also the one who immediately after that said, abide in me, abide in my love. If ever you discover how much He really loves you, if you ever experience what that love can do in your life, you will never be the same. Some of us in this very room could give a testimony that was something like this: you have no idea how I failed. You have no idea how I had fallen. You have no idea how much I had given up on life. And then the Lord and His love changed me forever. People know more than their share of how the world can break you, and people know about what it means to have others who let you down. And we hear more than we need to know about conflict and criticism. Just a few days ago, I wrote this message. Who knew that this morning we would gather and our nation would once again be in conflict? We live in a dangerous world. People live in a place where they find themselves broken and hurting for all kinds of reasons. So today we need a word from the Lord. A word for anyone who feels trapped by sin and guilt. A word for people who are discouraged in their lives, in their circumstances. A word for people who wonder, what in the world is this world coming to? Jesus is still saying today, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Let my love be the place where you belong. So today I want to preach a simple message about the overwhelming love of Jesus for me and for you. And what He said to those disciples in that upper room when He said, look, I know what's coming. I know what's going to happen. I know how you're going to stumble. I know how you're going to fall. I know. And I want to tell you something. In the midst of a tough world, in the midst of a place that can be very discouraging, I love you. So let's look together what the Bible has to say. Jesus speaks directly to you when He says, I love you. Abide in my love. When Jesus says, I love you, what you need to know is this. It is a statement of fact. I love you. It's not just about a feeling that may last for a moment. It's not dependent upon circumstances. He's not saying, as long as you deserve it, or as long as I'm not disappointed in you, or as long as I'm not angry at you. He just says, I love you. His love is real and lasting and personal. Jesus looked around the upper room at those 11 men gathered around the table, and he felt no need to choose among them. He didn't look around at these men who had followed him and said, "Well, let me think about this for a minute. I've watched you for several years. You have listened to me. There have been times when you have been up. There have been times when you have been down. There have been times when I was really proud of you. There have been times when I was really disappointed in you. Let me pick which ones I'm really going to love." And he didn't point out a few and say, "Now these are the ones I care about, but these others, you know, you're kind of second class in my mind." Jesus wasn't looking for the best and the brightest. He wasn't separating the worthy from the unworthy. He wasn't looking for those who were really spiritual and those who weren't spiritual enough. Because let's be honest, not one of them had earned his love. Not one. They were just like you and me. He didn't love them because of who they were. He loved them in spite of who they were. He loved them because he had made that decision. "I will love you." Says the same thing to you and me. "I will love you." Here's the astounding thing about John 15:9. It's that Jesus expressed it in the past tense. He said, "As the Father has loved me, I have loved you." It's already taken place. He didn't say, "As long as you meet my conditions." He didn't say, "After you have proved yourself," not "if you have deserved it." The love of Christ was a settled fact. "I have loved you." It still is today. The Lord looks down on you and me in this church and he says, "You know what? I have loved you. I love you now. I loved you yesterday. I loved you a year ago. I loved you before you were born. I have loved you." Here's the truth. If you're living and breathing on the face of this planet, there's one thing I know. Jesus Christ loves you and wants you to trust him as your Savior. There's not one person he looks down on and says, "You know, I just don't love that one. I don't want them. I don't want them to come to know me. I don't want them to trust me." Instead, he looks down and knows who you are and where you are and what's happening. He knows it all and he loves you. And there's nothing he wants more for you than for you to experience his love on a constant basis. "I love you." That's why 1 Timothy 2:4 says he desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. What truth? Well, the Bible reveals that answer two verses later in Timothy, because 1 Timothy 2:6 says he gave himself as a ransom for all. "I love you." The glory of the cross is it is the ultimate expression of the love of Jesus Christ. As we anticipate the coming of our Easter celebration in just a few weeks, as we will be looking together at Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, we're going to learn that over and over again, what that says to us is, this is how much God loves you. This is how much Jesus cares for you. "I love you." In fact, nobody will ever love you the way Jesus does. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord declares, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." Boy, that's a pretty good Valentine's card, isn't it? "I have loved you with an everlasting love." And there's something you need to know about that word that's translated everlasting. Because we probably think something like this. When God says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love," we kind of think that's like from now, when you trust me, from now on. It begins at salvation. It never ends. But when God reveals his everlasting love, that word means without beginning and without end. Isn't that great? "I have loved you. I love you. I will love you. I will forever love you. There's never a time I won't love you." Isn't that great? There has never been a time he did not love you. Here's what's amazing to me. Before you had ever given him a thought, he already loved you. Before you asked him to save you, he was reaching out in love. Salvation itself is a love gift from Jesus Christ to those who will trust him. His love is the deepest, strongest power in all the universe. And not only that, it is intensely personal. Listen to what the Bible says. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will never forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hand. I have written your name right there, and I will never, ever forget you. What am I saying? I'm saying it's not enough for me to say Jesus loves you this morning. You know what I need to say? Jesus loves you. Absolutely you. Intensely personal. You. Knowing you inside and out. He loves you. Isn't that good to know? In those times when you wonder, does anybody care about me? Is there anybody that's there for me? Does anyone care for my soul? Jesus says, I love you. I will never forget you. I've written your name on the palm of my hand. You are precious to me. Isn't that exciting? He loves you, but there's something you need to remember. And that is this, but never approach the love of Christ casually. Never say to yourself, I can just take his love for granted. When people hear a message about the incredible love of Jesus, they may be tempted to assume they can take it for granted. Some people may say this, well, if he loves me that much, if he's always loved me, if he's loved me, that means I can live as I please and do what I want to, and it doesn't really matter because he's going to love me anyway. There won't be any consequences because, after all, the Lord loves me. They assume the Lord is like a careless parent who refuses to say no or to offer discipline to their children. So they let the children do as they please and they never correct them because, after all, I can't correct my child. I love my child. I will never tell my child what you're doing is wrong. I will never tell my child what you're doing is dangerous. I will never say to my child, don't do that. It could kill you. Is that love? No. No. Refusing to guide or discipline or warn, that isn't love. God loves you. But hear this, he will never compromise his character or his call. He loves you, but that doesn't mean you get to make the rules. He loves you, but that doesn't mean you can neglect his requirements. He loves you too much to leave you alone when your life is not right with him. Why? Because that is forever dangerous. It would mean allowing you to face judgment for the sake of avoiding conflict. Look, I don't want to argue with you. I don't want to make you feel bad. I don't want to be ugly, so I'll just say, I love you, I love you, I love you. And someday you're going to stand in judgment and you're going to be forever lost because nobody ever said, I love you, and so you need to trust me. Here's what we always need to remember. God's love is available to all, but it is not unconditional. You don't have to earn his love, but you do have to receive his love. You don't have to prove you're worthy, but you do have to trust his forgiveness and His grace. That's why as Jesus sat around the room with those men in the upper room, He said to them, He invited them to abide in His love. But they had to make the decision, will I choose to do that? Receiving His love means surrendering to His will. It means hearing Him say, come unto me. It means obeying His call when He says, follow me. You can't take His love casually because His love is too intense and too real and so necessary. And unless we experience His love, then we will be forever separated from Him. We don't want that. He doesn't want that. He loves you too much. I love the way Max Lucado described it. Max Lucado said this. He said, people wonder, how could God send, a loving God, send people to hell? But he says this, God loves you so much that Jesus says to you, through His cross, the only way you're going to get to hell is over my dead body. And it's literally true, isn't it? It's literally true. I love you so much, I will do everything. But you have to receive it. You have to trust it. Here's the thing. Because of His love for you, He will never stop reaching out to you. The last thing He will do is leave you alone and abandon you to lostness. He will not let you go until the very last moment. If He did leave you alone, you would know that you don't really matter where Christ is concerned. If the first time you said to the Lord, just leave me alone, He said, okay, I will, and He disappeared, you would know He really didn't care to begin with. Not if it's that easy for Him to walk away. He knows you need forgiveness and mercy. He knows you need a new life in Christ. He knows you need eternal hope. He knows that if you've never trusted Christ and you stay that way, things will never be right. And if things are not right, you have no hope. What am I saying? Because of His love, He will never leave you alone. There are going to be continual times when His Holy Spirit is going to speak to you and call out to you and reach you and convict you and woo you and seek to bring you home. If you are His, He will constantly challenge you to become what He has called you to be. And He will not stop until you're with Him. What am I saying? He loves you too much to leave you alone. If you're here today and you hear that and you feel His Holy Spirit digging at you and tugging at you and convicting you and convincing you, guess what? It's because He loves you. And He's not going to let go until the last possible moment. Jesus is the only one who can offer the eternal love that you need. And that's why He says unapologetically, abide in my love. Come to me. John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to Him He gave the power to become children of God, even to those who believe on His name. Why? Because His love calls you to salvation. Maybe today He's calling on you to receive Him, to trust Him, to follow Him, to respond to His love, to answer His call. Is there something He's calling you to do? If so, today's the day when you respond. The Bible declares the love of Christ compels us. Is He compelling you today? Is His love compelling you to trust Him? Nobody else ever loved me this way, but Jesus does. I've got to trust Him. I've got to follow Him. I've got to ask Him to save me. I've got to ask Him to guide me. I've got to ask Him to show me what He wants me to do. I feel compelled to trust the Lord. Maybe today that's you. Maybe today you're here and you're not a Christian, but you know you need to be. And you feel that compelling power of His Holy Spirit speaking to you and calling you and challenging you. And you know what you need to do. Are you willing to trust Him? In a minute, we're going to sing our hymn of invitation, a chance for you to come. I'll be right here to introduce you to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're here and the love of Christ is compelling you and He's telling you, this is the place where I want you to serve me. First Baptist Church, Birmingham. This is where I want you to serve me. And you want to come and not just be an attender, but a member and part of what He's doing here. Or maybe God is calling you in a special way in your life, and I don't know what it might be, but you do. And you hear His call, and you know He's wanting you to say yes. Are you ready to say yes to that special call? Not because you have to, but because He loves you, and He's called you to Himself. Is there something you need to do? We're going to stand. We're going to sing. God moves, you come. Let's stand together.